Let's hop on the telephone line and begin this 5 o'clock hour as we do each Tuesday by welcoming in writer Colin Fleming. Hello, Colin.
How's it going, sir?
Well, thank you. Has the government come to its senses and opened the monument for you yet?
No. It's obscene, isn't it? You saw that picture I sent you the other day. It was 50 degrees. And I didn't even check today. They've made me disheartened. I'm not in the mood to check. So instead, I got my Fred Flintstone thermos, and I filled it with Fireball, and I got lit up at the Patriots parade, and I am in my cups as we do the dog. But no, they won't open it. It's ridiculous.
Did you go to the Patriots parade?
No, but I heard some benevolent revelers outside exchanging the best of the season, and that was about 30 minutes ago. And it's like, you get into your 20s, I don't know. Maybe you don't need to be chanting in the streets at like 4:45 and actually throwing up the Fireball that I joked about. But so it goes. Glorious victory makes us all a little delirious.
Indeed. Did you get to the bean pot?
No, I didn't. I saw a bunch of it on TV. I saw most of it on TV. And then I passed out near the end of the second game. So I don't know if BU or the Huntington Hounds prevailed, but I saw BC win the first one. So I'll probably go to the game on Monday. You know what they say about the bean pot, Kimball? Any given year, any team can win.
Well, it will be those Huntington Hounds. Northeastern got a 2-1 overtime win.
Oh, wow. Yeah. These games, you know, I feel like, you're like an old guy, but they go pretty late, and I haven't really had the tumbler of whiskey, but I've probably had some melatonin by then, so I'm done.
There you go. Well, speaking of melatonin and pleasant sleep, a lot of people hibernating this time of year, and that has led you to begin to think about bears, specifically one that all of us around here love, the one created by A.A. Milne, the story of Winnie the Pooh and those enduring characters that have held up for all these years.
People certainly do batten down the hatches in winter. I don't know if it's less prevalent where you are, because if you live in Maine, you're probably all gung-ho about being rustic. But here, when I'm out walking around or running, it's usually just me. I mean, it's not just literally me, but there aren't a ton of people out, and they're inside. And I thought, what's a good idea for reading material while you're inside? Then the Milne books, the first two, really, the two he did. The proper kind of full-length books of Winnie the Pooh. And so I was rereading them recently, and I was doing this at the Starbucks, so I have like the giant illustrated edition. So I wonder what people think about me, right? I think I get some credibility because I have a pencil and I'm marking it up. But if you walk in with your kids, he's like, what's that dude doing over there? He's like, is something wrong with this guy? Is he a little slow? It's like, hello, sir. And people slow down how they talk when they're addressing me. But the thing about those stories and the two, I guess we could call them novels, they're really a collection each of vignettes, is how hilarious these books are for adults. So if you have kids and you have not read these books to them and they're of the age when they're always tugging at your sleeve, mommy, daddy, read to me. Come on, get your rear end gear. You should try these books because they're written to multiple levels. So, like, your kid will get a kick out of what Tigger's doing, and there's Piglet, and Piglet's always pusillanimous and trying to screw up his courage, and little kids can identify with that because you want to be perceived as brave, but you will be getting these kind of age-delayed, time-delayed jokes that will make you guffaw as your kid looks at you and thinks, dude, what's up with you? Just read.
And why have these characters held up so well? I mean, there are other books from a similar time, and they feel so dated. But to me, the Pooh characters never do.
No, I agree with you. They really don't. And I think part of that is they have a certain Englishness, which obviously makes sense given the author. But English humor, and if we strip nationalities from it, but just using it for this argument, English humor ages very well. It's verbally based. So like slapstick, you really have something kind of an evolved, sophisticated slapstick, like a Laurel and Hardy slapstick. And you have an English verbal-based humor. Laurel and Hardy actually had that too for a lot of their pictures together. And that's why those films hold up, like these books hold up. You get this sort of language-based humor that doesn't age because it's baked into the language. Do you know what I mean? It's not baked into the news cycle, anything cliched like that, anything topical, anything temporary. It's wry. And when we say wry, it doesn't mean that it's going to be boring. But, like, if you watch the early seasons of Frasier, not the later seasons when it becomes very broad and ineffective, but you watch the early seasons and Niles and Frasier are doing whatever. They're trying to get into a club, for instance, and it's very exclusive. And the person who's going to determine which of the brothers gets into the club is asking them questions. And Niles is just trying to pump up his brother, and he says something like, "His eminence was already imminent when I was merely imminent." And it's just like this play on words of imminent and eminent. And it's like, that's clever. And that will hold up and last because it's not tied into, oh, look, he's wearing funny pantaloons. It's nothing like that. And you also have these characters in the Pooh books who are sort of like little acorn-sized adults, but they're kind of youthful. They're children, right? The acorns grow up to become the oaks, all that kind of stuff. And you see, like, them trying to save face with each other. Like, they want to be honest with each other. They want to be friends. They want to have their connections. But they're holding things back. And then when one of the other members of the group sort of lets something slip, that's when Rabbit will be like, oh, yeah, I totally get what you're... I'm picking up what you're putting down, man. And Pooh's like, all right. I totally see that embarrassment and raise you this one. And then everyone's kind of red-faced together, and it just feels good for them, and it feels good for the reader to be looking in on this world.
And how much of it, too, Colin, is because so many of us can look back on our childhood, and whether we grew up in the country or in a big city apartment building, that we all sort of have that 100-acre wood of our mind.
I agree, and Milne was very intelligent. It's out in the 100-acre wood, a lot of it. But a lot of it's in basically their apartments. They're like apartments, right? And and Piglet's really proud of his, and in Rabbit's into his, and Pooh comes over and he's like, I need some honey, man. I'm jonesing for some honey. And he's rooting through the cupboard. And Rabbit is like, come on, man. What are you doing here? I'm all fastidious. You're messing everything up. Don't you see how I had this all organized? And it kind of feels like your apartment, right? When you're... Or your study that you're trying to get organized. And I think that makes these books, these stories, travel really well, where you can be in a city and you can connect with what is going down in Pooh's world. And then the characters are all split into different sort of facets of a personality. They're not incomplete characters. They're all full-rounded and you know them really well. But it's like the ego and the superego and the id. Like, each one kind of represents a different facet of our personality. Like, you have days where you are Eeyore, basically. It's like, no, I do not want to deal with anything. Then you have other days where you're Owl and you want to be seen as like, hey, I'm the smartest one in the room. Then you start to think, oh, maybe not. I have to dial that back a little bit and save some face. And it just sort of dovetails really well with our multifaceted natures. And I've always been into Eeyore. And people say that they love to laugh. And I always think, like, well, you know, who doesn't? But Eeyore doesn't. And that's what makes Eeyore hilarious. His tail falls off. He's like, okay, just get a hammer and a nail and stick that back into my hindquarters. He's like this donkey tail-based version of the Christ. I mean, he's hilarious. And they have this one vignette where Kanga and Roo come to the forest, and the other friends, they want to drive them out. So they come up with this plan to abduct the baby kangaroo. And it's like, you can't do that. That's like, but it ends up being like sweet and good-natured. And eventually the mother kangaroo catches on to this and thinks, you know, okay, jackasses, we'll let this play out. And then I'll one-up you one, and everyone is left with egg on their faces. But it's fun. It goes to places that a lot of children's literature doesn't, and that's why it's able to connect with us as adults.
I've asked several people in the last day or so, since I knew we'd be talking about this today, who is your favorite character? And it's very interesting to me that it's always someone else other than Pooh, almost as if he serves as the conduit through which all these other characters and their storylines flow.
Who is the MC of the Hundred Acre Wood, I think? And actually, I left the foster home I was in with one thing from my biological mother, and it was, so if anyone should really be into Pooh, it should be me, a stuffed animal of Winnie the Pooh. Just like basically had me, gave me the Pooh stuffed animal, sent me off to my beginnings of my Dickensian origins, and that was like all that remained. But I think he's kind of the facilitator of everything else going around. He's the presence on stage. He's like, all right, Owl, it's your number, and now we got some Tigger. And the others are so specifically drawn. Piglet is timorous, but wants to succeed and is noble-hearted, kind of like, I don't know, Robin to Batman type of thing. And Eeyore struggles with some mental health issues in terms of his get up and go each day. Rabbit has energy to burn and he's somewhat impatient, and he's the hail fellow well met. They go off in this march to find the North Pole, and Rabbit's like, right, I'll be the point person. I will blaze this trail. And no one even questions it, but they're slowed down on their trek because Rabbit has to schmooze. It's like, oh, I know that chipmunk. And he goes over and he like hangs out with the chipmunk. He's like, oh, that snail. Hold on. Let's just wait for him and his buddies to join us. It'll be fun. And I think whatever we view as our salient personality point is something we can ascribe to one of these characters. So that doesn't surprise me. I would think Piglet is a lot of people's favorite, though.
That did come up quite a bit. Check out Colin's work, of course, at colinflemminglit.com. And by the way, Colin, you'll be featured on this week's episode of Downtown the Podcast on our conversation from last week on the 100th anniversary of the birth of Jackie Robinson.
Oh, yeah, Jackie Robinson. It's fun to write about him and talk about him as just a ball player. A number of people have contacted me about that, and they've all said, like, oh, I didn't know that he did such and such. Like, well, what did you think he did? He hit 250 and sat on the bench. I thought, he was the second Stackers as Rich Kimball is to Bangor Radio.
I was hoping for better from him, but that's okay. Colin, always a treat.
All famer in my eyes, buddy.
Thank you. And that's all that matters to me. Colin Fleming, Tuesdays on Downtown. Thanks, my friend. We'll talk with you next week.
Okay, talk to you later.